This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 and 930 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Jennifer Watson.
Good morning, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Jennifer Watson, and thank you for joining us for our last show of the 2008-2009 season.
That's right, Jennifer. Today is our last show of the season, but we've got some exciting news to share about 2009-2010 season of A Pirate's Life for Me. We are going prime time. I've always wanted to do that with that bell in here. That's right. We are going, taking the show prime time.
We certainly are, Paul. Now, during the summer months, as usual, we will be taking a little break, but we'll return in August at our new day and time, which is... Should we get another drum roll?
Yeah, there we go.
Friday nights at 6 p.m. following Live at 5.
Yeah, we're really excited about this new day and time and hope that all of you will join us on Fridays to hear the great stories of alumni achievement and stay connected with the Alumni Association and the university.
Well, Paul, even though I know everyone is so excited about this wonderful primetime news, we do have a terrific guest with us today.
We do.
Diane Straker, who is she truly is a pioneer for women in the workplace. And although she's retired now, she is an active member of her sorority's foundation board.
That's right, Jennifer. Diane used to work on Capitol Hill with Science Applications International Corporation and with Standard Missile Company. And we'll bring you her story in just a few minutes.
But first, why don't we get our listeners up to speed on what the Alumni Association will offer over the summer months?
Yeah, where are we going this summer? We got freshman send-offs coming up.
Yes, we sure do. And freshman send-offs, our summer outing series, will begin on Sunday, June 21st, and run through Saturday, August 8th. And this year, we're hosting 9 freshman send-off events, one each in Virginia Beach, Wilmington, North Carolina, Fayetteville, Clemens, North Carolina, Raleigh, Princeton, New Jersey, Morehead City, Charlotte, and Arlington, Virginia.
Wow, it's going to be a whirlwind tour. These, most of the time they're outdoor events, you know, and sometimes we have them in restaurants, sometimes we have them in parks, in the backyards of some alumni
Definitely.
But they're complimentary for our incoming freshmen and only $15 for parents and other family members to attend. Alumni are also welcome to attend as well. Come out to these freshman send-offs to talk with these students and their families about your East Carolina experience and just get them ready for becoming part of the Pirate Nation.
That's exactly right. And so you can sign up by visiting piratealumni.com/freshman-send-offs, or give us a call at the Alumni Center at 800-ECU-GRAD to register.
Well, I know people are always looking forward to when the next magazine comes out. Sawire is the name of the East Carolina Alumni Association magazine, and we've named it after the university's motto, which it means to serve. And I'm excited about the June 15th edition. It's going to be hitting your mailboxes June 15th, and there's some great stories in there from a great article about Senator Robert Morgan and his wife Katie Owen Morgan, who met at ECTC back in the 1940s, and both went on to serve not only the state and our country, but this great university for many, many years. That's just one of the many articles that folks are going to be reading about in the next issue of Sawire.
That's right, Paul. We'll also feature Jennifer Licko, who is a Celtic music singer and performer. And we've got a great story about Robert Benson. He's an NTSB investigator who's worked on a number of high-profile airplane crashes, including the Miracle on the Hudson, as it's been called, the water landing up in the Hudson River back in January. And then Reed Fogelman, he's the owner of Maxwell 3 Marketing, and how he and his company helped during ABC's recent visit to Eastern North Carolina for Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Absolutely. So be sure to check out your mailboxes next month for the magazine. And if you're not receiving Sawire currently, all you have to do to ensure that you never miss an issue is make a tax-deductible membership contribution to the Alumni Association. You can visit us online at piratealumni.com/join today or give us a call at 800-ECU-GRAD, and we'll be glad to take your membership over the phone.
You can help us reach our goal of 10,000 members in 2010 by joining today.
Well, we're going to go primetime this fall, and when we return in the fall, it'll almost be football season. And, of course, football means tailgating at ECU. And we'd like to encourage you to sign up for the alumni tailgate. Now, there's a process involved with this. I know many of you who listen to the show are some of our tailgaters and some of our most avid supporters. We will start taking tailgate registrations on July 7th. So mark your calendar today, 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, July 7th. We will open the phones at the Alumni Association so that you can begin to register for the 2009 Pirate football season and the alumni tailgate.
Definitely. And this year we're going to be hosting 6 home tailgates and 2 away tailgates. The away tailgates will be at UNC and then also at SMU over in Dallas, Texas. And our family-friendly tailgates offer all-you-can-eat buffets with traditional southern tailgate food from Aramark, as well as food from local restaurants in Greenville like O'Charlie's, Trips, and Chico's. And there's plenty of cold pirate beverages, the ECB Sweet Zone, raffle prizes, live entertainment, and lots of games for kids. I could go on and on about
Absolutely.
How great alumni tailgate is.
Absolutely. So registration starts July 7th for members.
Right.
So if you're a member of the Alumni Association, you could call us then. If you're not a member, you have to wait until August 1st. So go ahead, join the Alumni Association, and then sign up for tailgates so that you don't get shut out of this event, which has sold out now for the past 4 years.
Exactly. Well, stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me, everyone. We'll be right back with Diane Straker after this commercial break.
This is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association. You may have heard of the concept of paying it forward, the belief that you can rarely pay someone back, but you can always do something for the next generation. And that's what the Alumni Association is all about, supporting East Carolina through student recruitment, scholarships, student programs, and advocacy for the university. Join today.
Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com for details. East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
Hello, this is Greg Abiunas, Director of Planned Giving at East Carolina University. The Leo W. Jenkins Society was established to celebrate the importance of planned gifts to the future of ECU. Planned gifts include bequests, charitable gift annuities, trusts, life insurance, IRAs, and certain gifts of real estate. If you currently have or would like to discuss an estate plan that benefits East Carolina, please call me at 252-328-9573. Be a visionary like Dr. Jenkins and help transform ECU for the future. Call me today at 252-328-9573.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
We're happy to have on the show today with us Diane Straker, a member of the Alpha Phi International Fraternities Foundation Board of Directors and former Senior Vice President of SAIC. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you very much.
Let's start right at the beginning. Tell our listeners how you became an East Carolina Pirate.
Well, actually, it was almost a default position. I basically put myself through school, and looking at my options, my best friend from high school, Holly Hawthorne, and I decided we would come down to East Carolina together, and unfortunately, she didn't get in, so I was on my own, and I loved it from the moment I stepped foot on campus.
And where did you grow up? Where do you hail from?
Well, my dad was in the Navy, and so I grew up, I guess I'd say, up along the east and west coast. He was a submariner.
Okay, wow. Great.
Well, Diane, we hear from so many alumni that it's the people of ECU that made their experience here what it was. Who impacted your life while you were a student at East Carolina?
Gee, there were so many people. Academically, I'd say Drs. White, Gowan, and Wynn, who were in the history department, and taught me to view history a little bit differently. My Alpha Phi sorority sisters were a significant and continue to be a significant part of my life. And actually, the house director, Mom Everett, really had a great impact on me. As I was in college, my dad had a medical discharge from the Navy, and I was kind of left on my own when they went out to California, and she really became my surrogate mom, I guess.
Well, that's great. In 1970, you were named the Buccaneer Queen, and you also served as a marshal for the university. Would you count these in your favorite memories of your time spent at ECU?
Well, they certainly were some of the fun things that I did. Being involved in Alpha Phi kind of broadened my horizons, and they encouraged me to get involved in a lot of different things. It was Alpha Phi who basically nominated me for Buccaneer Queen, and quite honestly, I think probably the main reason I was named Buccaneer Queen is I was taught by my mom and my grandma that when you go to a tea, you wear a hat and gloves, and I was perhaps the only collegiate who showed up for the chancellor's tea for Buccaneer Queen in a hat and gloves. And it probably wasn't the hat and gloves that did it, but the fact that I felt pretty comfortable with it.
That's a very nice Southern tradition.
Absolutely. Well, you've mentioned your affiliation with Alpha Phi. Talk a little bit about how being in a sorority at East Carolina helped you impact the rest of your career. I know it's a big part of both your campus life and then as you've gone on to be a volunteer. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it was a support system. Here I was at this very large school, very far away from home, not knowing anyone, and they provided that sense of community, that sense of family that really made life very, very comfortable for me. They pushed me and encouraged me. As I said, I was a scholarship student and worked the whole time I was at school, and they were very understanding and helped me along that path and encouraged me to take part in things that normally I would have shied away from, and really kind of expanded that, helped me become a risk taker, I guess you'd say. And so when I went off and became, graduated and became a professional, I was, I think, better equipped to deal with, in fact, that life and in pushing myself to do things outside my comfort zone and to try new things, new approaches.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that perspective because that's not always how fraternities and sororities are seen on a college campus and the impact. And it's definitely a reality is that it really does help you in the future. But we all know the stereotypes. We don't need to focus on that. But it's definitely a positive experience for the students who participate in it.
Well, very definitely, and it probably was one of the main drivers that helped me get started in terms of philanthropy because I remember the community service things that we did and to reach out and give back to others, and that's something I've continued with throughout the rest of my life.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me, and we're talking with Diane Straker. Now, Diane, early in your career, you worked on Capitol Hill for then-Congressman Paul Sarbanes. Tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Well, it was a wonderful time. Capitol Hill is a great place for young people. I call it my period of volunteer labor. I worked long hours for such little pay. I guess I had to consider that. But, politics has always been a passion of mine, continues to be. And this was really a chance to see how things actually worked. And it was a great deal of fun. It was very eye-opening in terms of how the political process actually works. And you get very, very caught up in what's going on there. I guess it kind of made me a confirmed East Coast person. When the company moved me out to California, I think the thing I missed most was the fact that the local news in Washington, D.C. is the national news, and it's a very, very exciting place. I met a lot of very smart people, a lot of really dedicated public servants, and it was actually a very, very fun place for a young person to be. Lots of free receptions up there.
Now, after your time on the Hill, you became a researcher in the area of Soviet affairs. And now let's just set the time frame. This was the early 1970s, time in our country's history when the Cold War was prevalent. And as a woman, you faced many challenges in the workplace. Talk to us more about this experience and how you overcame those challenges.
Well, it was interesting. When I left the Hill, I went to work for a firm called the Legion and Associates, which essentially was a defense contractor, but mainly in the soft sciences. And quite frankly, the staff was made up of retired military. My area was Sino-Soviet affairs, and I had written several pieces on the Soviet Navy and the role of the Soviet Merchant Marine, and it was very difficult when I found that simply because of my gender, and truthfully probably in part because of my age, no one took my opinion seriously because I did not follow the hard line, so to speak. I saw that there were, in fact, cracks in the Soviet Union, that the system there was breaking down, and that was not really a welcome opinion. So I discovered almost by chance in managing a small research project that when I controlled the purse strings in terms of finance, that those men paid a little bit more attention to me. So I shifted gears and moved over from writing monographs on Soviet military to actually managing projects and controlling the budget, I was a little bit more successful, and so I went off and started taking some MBA classes at George Mason University.
Well, after working in Soviet affairs, you made a change in your career and spent a number of years working for SAIC, which is Science Applications International Corporation, where you became the first female senior vice president. Obviously, all those challenges you'd faced earlier in your career were paying off. Tell our listeners, Diane, about SAIC and your various roles with that corporation.
Well, it was a very young company when I joined, and it had a very special flavor. Very, very entrepreneurial. They hired very, very smart people. I think at the time I joined, 80% of the staff had their PhD, and they had offices all over the place, not because it was a big company. It was still in its growing stages, but because it believed that if you find a smart person, they can work anywhere and do anything. And so they really tried to be on the cutting edge of a lot of R&D, and it was an exciting time because, quite frankly, if you could produce, you were rewarded, and it was an environment where everyone learned from one another. Again, they primarily were in the defense business, and so I was, again, female and a minority. But when the company started to branch out and do energy and environment, they looked around and, quite frankly, weren't real interested at that time in energy and environment, and so they said, oh, there's a woman, we'll throw her in it. And it turned out to be just a fabulous experience for me. That area grew. The people that I worked with there were very, very encouraging. And it was quite frankly at that time that I became involved with Alpha Phi International and served on their executive board. And I found that my experience, professional experience at SAIC, really helped with my experience with Alpha Phi and vice versa. And I was very fortunate in that I had bosses that saw that and encouraged it and gave me the flexibility to do both.
We're talking with the former SAIC Senior Vice President Diane Straker, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. So all of your experience at SAIC led you to the Standard Missile Corporation, and working with the U.S. Navy, it must have felt like you came full circle back from your family roots with the Navy and then back to working later in your career with the Navy. Tell us a little bit more about your role with Standard Missile and working with the United States Navy.
Well, that was kind of fun. I took a break. My son was, I was a late bloomer. I had my son a little late, and he was getting to an age where I felt I needed to be home more. So I started a consulting business and then got a call from a client, a past person I'd worked with, a client, and who had a great opportunity for me with Standard Missile. And I said, great, but he said, it's not consulting. It's full time. But the thing that attracted me was, again, it was a startup company. The Navy, because of the cutbacks in defense, had cut down the number of Standard Missiles they were buying and basically formed a joint venture and started this small company to combine the talents of what was then Raytheon and Hughes Missile System to provide this third company that basically did everything from R&D for a new generation of missile to building the old Standard Missiles. So it was a new challenge for me in that it was hardware, which I had not been involved in before. But it also had the benefit of being that startup, so that I was in at the ground floor and actually helped develop their procurement system, their contracting system, their security system, purchasing the whole nine yards. And that was a great deal of fun. And it was fun to get back to those Navy roots and actually make sure that there were things available when sea trials were to take place. And it was a very exciting time.
Well, let's change gears just a little bit. One more time, Diane. You've done so much in your career, so we've got a lot to talk about. Your volunteer work with Alpha Phi that we've already discussed a little bit, you currently serve as director on the Alpha Phi Foundation board, and you've had other leadership roles as well. So why is serving for Alpha Phi so important to you?
Well, I have to say that I have had a very long career with Alpha Phi, but whatever I have given to the organization, it has come back tenfold. Or a hundredfold. It is amazing working with very bright women. I did it initially because I was working in a very male-dominant industry, and I quite frankly needed some very smart women to have around me to keep myself anchored, I guess. And the types of programming that I was involved with Alpha Phi were very exciting. I'm a firm believer that we have to strive for excellence and help young women be the very best that they can be and develop the leadership that the country needs for tomorrow. And I think one of the best ways to do that is through some of the leadership programming that Alpha Phi has really been at the forefront in promoting. So it has been a great experience for me, and I think, quite frankly, it's the future. They always say invest in education, and that is very true of Alpha Phi, too. We strive for academic excellence, for leadership, and to simply make these women the best that they can be. The other aspect of the foundation work, of course, is we support heart health in women. And my mother, I started early in my career and my family was on the West Coast and I was on the East Coast, my mother had a very serious heart incident. And so cardiac care in women has always been very special to me and something that I'm very proud to support. And Alpha Phi has done a remarkable job at providing grants for institutions that provide not only research but educational programming for women in the area of cardiac care.
Well, you've had an amazing career. You've had some fantastic volunteer service through Alpha Phi. To our listeners, we've been talking with Diane Straker, the former director of administration for Standard Missile Company and the current member of Alpha Phi International Foundation Board of Directors. Diane, we'd like to thank you for talking with us today and letting us pass your story along to the Pirate Nation. It's alumni like you who proudly say, "Yes, I am a pirate," that brings notoriety to the university and value to every East Carolina degree, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
Stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You've been hearing about Springshire Continuing Care Retirement Community, and now this new retirement community is about to take an exciting step. Springshire is now sharing final details and allowing priority list members to select their new home. Springshire is being developed on beautiful property in close proximity to Ironwood Country Club, Pitt County Memorial Hospital, the School of Medicine, shopping and settings hosting many community and cultural events. Springshire promises to be the destination for all who are looking for a vibrant, social model community with nature areas, lake, golf, gardens, putting green, movie theater, on-site assisted living, and skilled care. If you are looking for a beautiful apartment, private townhome, or spacious house in a lovely, full-service community, you will find what you deserve at Springshire. Join the excitement as Springshire moves to the next level. If you're not on Springshire's wait list, it's not too late. Go to springshire.org or call Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 and learn why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association. You may have heard of the concept, paying it forward, the belief that you can rarely pay someone back, but you can always do something for the next generation. And that's what the Alumni Association is all about, supporting East Carolina through student recruitment, scholarships, student programs, and advocacy for the university. Join today.
Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com for details.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back in the show. It was great talking to Diane Straker about all the interesting things that she has done in her career and now with her volunteer service to her sorority.
Definitely. I think I was most impressed with the Standard Missile Company. I mean, holy crap, that's pretty cool.
I mean, anyone who can bomb your house from halfway around the world is pretty impressive. And so, and we enjoyed passing her story on to the Pirate Nation.
Definitely.
Now's the time in the show where we ask, are you a member? The number one reason to join the Alumni Association, obviously, is to support a great university that we all love and to show your pirate pride. But did you know the Alumni Association also produces award-winning communications?
I did know that.
You did know that, especially because if you listen to the first half of the show, we talked about Sawira Magazine,
did.
Which is going to be hitting mailboxes on June 15th, and that's just one of the many communication pieces that the Alumni Association sends out to keep the Pirate Nation informed about what's going on.
Definitely.
East Magazine, Sawira Magazine, they inform readers about East Carolina's achievements, challenges, people, and programs. Alumni Association communications also include all the things that we do on the Internet, from Pirate Pulse, which is our monthly e-newsletter, the RSS feeds that we have, our podcasts, and PirateAlumni.com, which is your 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year connection to East Carolina. Visit PirateAlumni.com often and access our online community, connecting you to more than 125,000 fellow pirates. Are you a member? If the answer is yes, thank you for your support. If the answer is no, what are you waiting for? Join today. Call us at 800-ECU-GRAD or join online at piratealumni.com/join today.
Well, from Paul and I both, we hope that you all have a wonderful summer. And be sure to tune in next season at our new time, Fridays at 6 p.m. right after Live at 5.
Thanks to our producer, Shirley Rhodes. And until next time, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold. Go Pirates!
I've been willed by our mommies and daddies. Drink up, be hearty, show ho!